Latest polls have suggested that the Tories will win a 28-seat majority, which would be the best result for the Conservatives since 1987 under Margaret Thatcher. Let's see what the picture is, though, in Northern Ireland. And Tommy Gorman, our Northern editor, is there for us today. Tommy, I just want to hone in, first of all, on the SDLP, because there's an interesting story playing out there. Are they likely to take a seat or two?
I think they have a really good chance of taking a seat in South Belfast. It was the seat once held by former leader Alistair MacDonald, taken by the DUP's Emma Little-Pengelly last time, where the challenge is now coming from Claire Hannah. What's significant about South Belfast is it was very much a pro-Remain constituency. Around 70% of the voters were in favour of pro-Remaining. Some of the field has been cleared to give Claire Hannah a better chance of reflecting that pro-Remain stance. And I think the indications are she's going to take that seat. The other really interesting one is over in Derry, the Foyle constituency. Used to be the old John Hume, Mark Durkin seat, taken by Alicia McCallion of Sinn Féin the last time. Now Colm Eastwood, the SDLP leader, is trying to retake the seat for his party. If he gets it, that would give Sinn Féin two representatives, or give the SDLP two representatives. It's such a tight contest that there's all sorts of skullduggery going on the ground, and hard to say who's responsible for it. For instance, in the past 24 hours, many homes received this leaflet reported to come from Colm Eastwood, where he was asking for funds to help pay for his election campaign and saying, make the checks out to me, Colm Eastwood. Obviously, he didn't write it. Alicia McCallion of Sinn Féin was quick to condemn what's going on. But somebody somewhere is exercising the dark arts. Nobody has been able to find out who's doing it.
OK, that's Colm Eastwood there, who's running in Foyle. You've been writing on RT.ie about the Northern Ireland Secretary Julian Smith and the work that he's been doing to try and get the institutions back up and running. He's also, as we know, been dealing with issues in the health sector. And you've been saying that the fact that no group in Northern Ireland has come out and criticised him directly or had a major issue with him, and you suggest that he has been a positive influence, and we're wondering what might happen after the election to that position and to Julian Smith.
Well, let's look at who he is first of all. He used to be the chief whip in Westminster, and he was a Remainer, and then he was appointed in July of this year, so he's only been here for what, 5-6 months. But he hit the ground running. He got involved in, say, the issue, the outstanding payments that were due to victims of institutional abuse. He also got involved in the ongoing health crisis. He didn't manage to get the strikes that unions are holding. He didn't manage to get those ended, but he did get some money on the table, not enough. But I think everybody accepts that he's acting in good faith. Another really interesting thing about him is that instead of heading back to England to his constituency in Yorkshire to campaign for re-election, he has been trying to get the parties into that space where they'd be ready for talks immediately after, say, these elections. He was talking about how scheduling talks for as early as next Monday. But against that backdrop, there's uncertainty over whether this Remainer, that may not be too close to Boris Johnson, might get shoved aside or reappointed if Boris Johnson is returned as Prime Minister. So he's made quite an impression, but his tenure is by no means guaranteed. And that's its significance because of the impact he has made in a very short period.
Tommy, thank you for joining us today on the News at One. That's Tommy Gorman, our Northern editor. Still to come on the programme, the voters go to the polls in the UK tomorrow as leaders of the main parties use the last hours of campaigning to shore up support ahead of what's been dubbed the Brexit election. Let's first go to London for more on this story and our correspondent there, Sean Whelan. So Sean, let's talk about the party leaders and the final push for votes now. The Prime Minister, Boris Johnson, saying he's fighting for every vote. What's Boris Johnson doing today and saying?
Well, he's been up early, like all good milkmen are, dressing up as a milkman and loading up a milk float with bottles of milk. As he's done many things over the past few days, like being a fishmonger and driving a JCB through a plastic wall yesterday. Will this man do anything for votes? The answer seems to be yes, he will. And he's saying to anybody who listened today, we need every single vote we can get because this is going to be tight, despite what the opinion polls are saying. He thinks it's going to be extremely tight, and he has to battle complacency amongst Conservative voters. That might be one of his enemies now, both complacency amongst Conservatives and also the notion that the Labour Party has its tail up now. There is a bit of momentum has come into the Labour campaign, and they do seem to be making gains in this last week of campaigning, and even this last few hours of campaigning that's left. The Labour Party is on a surge. So Boris Johnson is up in the north, the northeast, and Midlands, where the Conservative Party has to make gains. This so-called red wall area, big patch of Labour, really strong traditional Labour seats, but he is counting on Brexit being the thing that delivers Conservative victories in some of those key constituencies for him. Jeremy Corbyn, as you would understand, trying to counteract all of that. He's on a tour that started up in Glasgow this morning. He's in Middlesbrough now. He's going to end up in Bedford this evening. So he's coming down the middle of the country, again, trying to defend traditional Labour votes and also try and unpeel a few Tories around the London area, where he seems to be likely to make some gains. His key message, though, not so much Brexit as usual. They've tried to not focus on the Brexit issue, but talking about the health service. And again, it's an issue that is sensitive to a lot of people here, but they're talking about waiting lists. Indeed, Angela Rayner, their education spokesman for the Labour Party, tweeting out today that her own mother is on a trolley in an A&E in Manchester waiting to get treatment. So they're playing up defects and underinvestment in the National Health Service and promising that they can cure it. That they see as their big Trump card. The Liberal Democrats not doing so well in the polls in terms of the prediction of seat numbers, but they are focusing on a few key areas today around London, where they definitely are in with a shout of picking up some seats. The big scalp thereafter is Dominic Raab, the Foreign Secretary in Esher in Surrey. Joe Swinson is down there today campaigning in that constituency. He is just a 2 percentage points ahead of the Liberal Democrat candidate. The third place candidate, Labour, they polling around 8%. So there's plenty of votes there to tip that one in favour of the Liberal Democrats and knock out a really big beast. Another big beast possibly in the firing line is Ian Duncan Smith, former leader of the Conservative Party, is down in Chingford. Again, the Labour Party are just within 2 percentage points of him. The Liberals have 8% of votes that they could throw behind Labour and unseat those two big Tories. So that's where all the leaders are today. And of course, leader of the Scots National Party up in Scotland, where you'd expect her. She's in line, according to the latest polls, to pick up additional seats, taking 5 of the 13 seats that the Conservatives currently hold and taking 2 of the 7 Labour seats. So the SNP on course for a really good election. It's the contest, though, is everywhere else.
All right, Sean Whelan there in London. Thank you for bringing us that update.